Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. Thank you for joining us back again this week on another episode of On Point. And we're happy to hear that everybody's out there is okay. Hopefully you had a good Thanksgiving. I'm your host, A-Trey, here with me, my best friend and killer of the perfect words, Dr. James Seymour. How you doing, Professor? How you feeling?
I'm doing well. How are you, Sam?
Yeah, I'm cool, man. I'm cool. Hey, out there, we want to tell everybody, we hope and pray that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, not just for the sake of the holiday, but for the things that it could actually stand for, that it can actually stand for. Being thankful for those things that you have, those things you don't have, those things that came into your life, and some of the things that actually left. Being thankful for the very life that you're enjoying at this very moment. And if you can hear this morning, there was somebody who woke up who wasn't able to do that. If you could see this morning, there was somebody that wasn't able to do that. If you drew a breath this morning, there was people who didn't do that. So we want to be ever thankful for all the good things in our lives. And those things that weren't so good, that we learned from, then those were good too because we learned something. So I just want to say thank you. And Jay? Thank you for being my ace kumbo, my partner, my friend, man. I appreciate you.
Oh, likewise, man. It's been a pleasure. You know, we got a little over a year in this endeavor, and, you know, we've done some things that I am pretty thankful for. We've moved on to bigger venues and met folks along the way, learned some new things and new equipment. So it's been a pleasure. It's been a journey, and it's been cool.
Oh, yeah. And but today we're going to talk about something that we just touched on just now. All those things that we're thankful for, they touched our life. They marked our lives. And today we're going to our topic's marked for life. And so the question is raised: does our appearance really play a part in how we're interpreted by others? The style of dress or the clothes we wear. Make statements about who we are inside and outside and what we believe. Does this lend to stereotypes, or is this the way of distilling the skilled and caring for the unskilled, careless folks that aim to either enter the corporate world or even the country? We want to review these mores and delve into this topic more, a little bit more today. So feel free to join us. Our number is 347-855-8662, and let's talk about it. I mean, this is our segment, Real Talk, and we address the issues: appearance, dress, professionalism, stereotypes. Join in on this.
What
do you feel about
it? That we are live tweeting at OnPointPHX. So if you don't want to get on the phones, you want to send us a question, go ahead and send it out that way. We'll be up there as well.
Yes. I know we have people out there that like to text us and so forth. So again, we're tweeting live too, and make that known. Somebody out there is probably thinking the same thing that you are, and but only you have the courage to put it out there. So we want to hear your voice as well. And
we have a caller, sir.
Oh, go ahead. Let me see. Thank you, caller.
Go ahead, caller.
Thank you for joining
On Point. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, guys. This is me.
It's just me. Oh, Chris. Kelvin, how you doing today? Yeah,
what's going on,
yeah. Brother? That right there, you about to take some of my Thanksgiving out, man. I was about to sell 17 platform shoes, purple hat with a green feather, and just straight pimp slap you through the phone. Got to tell us, man, who we talking to. How you feeling today, man?
I'm good, brothers. How y'all doing?
Not bad.
Not bad.
On to our subject.
Go ahead. Bring him in,
because
I want to hear his perspective on
this. All right, here it is. We're talking about Mark for Life, the things we do, the things that our appearance, how it reflects on everyone else around us. For instance, tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
They've become more of a fad, and people hold them up and say, well, this is something that's been going on for ages. Yeah, this is true, but it had meaning then. And now, meaning is something that's it's superficial. It's just this picture of Donald Duck on my forearm, that means that I had to duck things in life, but since my name is Donald, I thought this was appropriate. No, it doesn't work, because when you go to get a job and you got Donald Duck on the side of your neck, you know, that doesn't work. You're in a professional place.
You already know me. I kind of look at things a little bit differently than most. I don't have, like, my problem with so-called tattoos, for instance, or even earrings or facial scarring, like putting earrings and in your nose and things of that nature. My thing is, like, a person's body is theirs to do with as they please. I don't have a problem with that. The only thing that I have a problem with is the reasons that you're doing it for. So if you're getting a tattoo and you're just doing it like willy-nilly, it has no significance to you. You're just doing it because, like, you saw somebody else with tattoos and you thought it was cool. That's where my issue comes in at. As far as being able to hold down a job because you have certain tats, it used to be people wouldn't hire you because you had tattoos. Nowadays that has changed. You see people with, sleeves, tattoos all down their arms, and in some cases tattoos on over their entire body, and people are still able to get and hold down jobs. I don't think that should hinder you from being able to get employment anywhere.
Now, I have a perspective on that, Chris, and here's what I want to throw out there. I understand your perspective about folks' bodies being their own and so on and so forth, and I think that there's kind of a bit of a dichotomy there, because if you're in the entertainment industry, tattoos are accepted. You can wear your hair any kind of way that you want. But in certain places in the more corporate environment, for instance, I used to work for a culinary institution, and, we taught students. Now, in that industry, it's kind of an art-based industry, so tattoos, earrings, face plugs, all that gauging, that was kind of the norm outside of school. Mm-hmm. But our clientele, for the most part, it ranged from young folks to older folks. Now, we had a couple of students. One gentleman had his head shaved completely bald, minus two places in the front of his head that would look like they should be ponytails, which he would moose up to make himself look like he had horns. Okay?
Right.
We had
right.
another guy who grew a goatee to a point, to make it pointed, and then cut his hair in such a fashion he could moose the front of his hair up into horns. So he actually looked very reminiscent of Satan. Now, that's his personal choice. I get that. But if my clientele is an older lady or an older couple or an older gentleman, and they turn around to see this server walking toward them that looks like that, I think that we have to keep our clientele in mind in that instance. Now, like the entertainment industry, it's a different animal. I get that. But I think in a professional environment, if I'm going to walk into a boardroom and you've got horns like Satan, unless we're dealing with Enron or something like that, I don't think it's acceptable.
we have an issue.
I don't entirely disagree with you. I'm just saying that. Okay, let's take that and stretch it out a little bit. Expand upon that. Who's this? It used to be a term when people said that, okay, so-and-so had dreadlocks, we don't want to hire them. If so-and-so had their hair done a certain way, we're not going to hire them. Or, you know, even we can go so far as to say, like, people had certain complexion that people didn't want to hire you. So at what point do we stop making it about a person's appearance and more about how, like, their qualifications for the job?
Let me interject. Okay. You asked the question. Let me interject. Okay. Here's the thing. Presence does matter. Presence matters. You know, and you know what? They've got they have this. They used to say first impressions count, and right. I agree to a point. You know. But here's the thing, you got a guy, and it's Christmas Day, and a guy delivers a Christmas present to Grandma. He has on a snow cap and some snow boots, and a pair of link letter gloves, leather with the zipper on the back, and nothing else, in front of the whole family. He's a nudist. And that's his thing. That's what he wants to do. And it's okay. But it's Christmas. It's Grandma. And he's delivering this and what he believes is okay. And he's a direct representation of that company. We deliver fast. Fictitious company. We deliver fast. And he decided when he came into work today, that's how he was going to dress. The way he believes. The way he feels. Regardless to what the guidelines or whatever the image is of his company. And you think that's cool? It's a perfect scenario.
So you're basically asking me, anybody has
the right to do with their bodies whatever they want, regardless. Right. This is the perfect scenario.
No,
What I said was if
a person chooses to do with their body whatever they want, it shouldn't matter. What I was saying, what the other portion to that I was saying was, is that, you know, at what point do we, because I'm not entirely disagreeing with you guys, I'm just saying at what point do we stop making it about somebody's appearance? I mean, and start making it about are their qualifications. Like, we get down on people all the time about, okay, don't judge a book necessarily by its cover. And that's all I'm saying. Like, at what point are we going to, as a society, are we going to stop and say that, okay, this person may
you're
not look
don't judge.
Necessarily.
You're just saying
yeah,
don't judge,
this person,
period.
This person, yeah, this person may not look like what we want them to look like, but they're qualified for the job. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what's the stop? If we go along the routes that you're talking about, because they have permanent scarification, like, what's to say that, okay, they're ugly, so we're not going to give ugly people jobs anymore? You know, that's all I'm saying.
Here it is. I have somebody very close to me, athletic, strong, very youthful, blah, 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 the whole thing. Tried to get into the military. Couldn't do it. Got tattoos everywhere before the age of 20. And then decided to go up his neck. Military said, hell no. Now, people argue, and that's the problem. People outside argue everything they believe is, this is just horrendous. And I'm like, would you let him in your house to cook dinner for you? Oh, hell no, that's different. This isn't, my house is personal. No, because it's your house, because it's personal, everybody that works, Everybody that does something in the public eye, it's personal for that company. They have a right. And there's a point where personal desecration does take place. And being accountable for your actions, that's all well and good, wonderful joy, joy, joy. But being responsible, that's different. You got to be responsible. You've got to know that there are some things that just won't be tolerated. I couldn't have a person come to my table with two piercings in their lips, a Toro in their nose, three gauges, and he's serving me soup. And he goes like this. Because your mouth is going, your mouth waters with those piercings. People lick their lips all the time. He's serving me soup. Come on now. I don't want that. No. You know what? You cool. You smart. You're a culinary genius. Don't serve me. Just cook for me. Don't serve me. Know your place.
That sounded a little interesting there, bro. Know your place. I get what you're saying.
Here it is. Listen, you got a little person. You have a little person, and he's going to try out for the police force. Athletic as hell, smart as all, get out, blah, blah, blah. And one of the obstacles inside of there for him to become a police officer is to finish the mile in 13 minutes. And because of his physical stature, that is damn near an impossibility. He has to clear an 8-foot wall by himself.
Okay, that's a valid point. I get that. It's like the fire.
No,
fire,
you're wrong.
The fire. I don't want to say fireman because that's not necessarily politically correct. Firefighter has to be a certain stature. Hey, let's see what Lady Sincere has to say. Lady Sincere, good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. And you, sir?
Doing well. So we're talking about people's personal appearance, and we got kind of an interesting conversation going. Does it matter to you someone's personal appearance? I know, Trey, you kind of touched on the capabilities as well, but personal appearance.
Yeah, I mean, your appearance says a lot. I mean, because by a person not knowing you for who you are, your appearance means a lot. Like, if I'm going on a job interview, I know not to have several piercings in my face, or I know not to have my hair out of order. You gotta dress your part. You know what I mean? And if you want to be taken seriously, especially for a job or organization or what have you, then take it seriously. But your appearance means a lot. You know, my mom, she stresses that to me all the time. Appearance says a lot. Your first impression is your best impression.
So what if you're homeless? And what if you're homeless and, you know, you're just coming off the street and you haven't had time to freshen up your appearance, but you're trying to better your lifestyle and better your way of living, and you're going for a job interview, then what? Like, I think
but they do have resources, though, for those people that are homeless. I mean, knowing that I don't have nowhere to go, I don't have no clothes, anything, there are resources available to you. You got to make sure that you're up on your resources and utilize them wisely. So there are resources, and just because a person is homeless, I don't mean that you can't get out here and get help. You got to want the help. I can't make you want it, but if you want it, I can show you.
Yeah. Right, but he brings a valid point by saying, you know, what if you don't have access to those resources? And in some cases, that's the issue. I don't know if any of you have seen the movie The Pursuit of Happiness, but there's a spot in there where Will Smith is playing the main character, and I believe he's painting or something. And he's covered in paint, and he's wearing an A shirt and a pair of trousers, and he goes for an interview. And the guy said, you know, hey, you know, who do you think you are coming in like this? What do you think I would say to someone? He said, well, you know, I hope you think he had some really nice slacks or something to that effect. Now, do we judge people by their appearance? Yes. Be wrong on occasion? Absolutely. Trey, you mentioned if you have a little person who perhaps could be on the fire department and can't run the mile in 13 minutes, perhaps that's the case. But we don't know that till we give him a chance. So we can't say just based on the fact that we saw him as a little person. But I don't mean like for instance, ailments that, you know, I don't want to say being little is an ailment. I'm not saying that. But let's say that there's something I'm born with that prevents me, at least in your first perspective, of doing something. You got to give me the shot.
Autonomy.
You know, I should have the right to at least attempt it. and then you make your judgment. But I'm saying if I come in and I decide I want to shave all my head except the very top, and I want to make that into a cone that looks like an obelisk for, you know, the Washington, D.C. monument or some trash like that. I'm not saying the monument's trash. I'm saying the action of doing that.
Can I interject here a little bit?
All right, here's something. A gentleman, Matthew Kronick, if I pronounced it correctly, hopefully I did. Don't quote me, but it's Matthew Kronick. Goes into Urban League, smart, has his master's degree in sociology and blah, 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 this, that, and the other, and 38 years old, wonderful joy. He walks in, receded hair, so he shaves his head, but he shaved his head when he was 18 from South Carolina, got a tattoo of a swastika because of the company he kept.
Ooh.
He changed his view. He has a tattoo of a swastika on the top of his head. Now, again, he went into Urban League. And his question was, can you not judge me? But no, I'm sorry, I can't. You've made it apparently clear. It doesn't mean that people can't change, but you've made apparently clear that at some point this was overwhelmingly important to you, so much so that you got it scarred for life, unless you take that, you know, electrolysis thing, laser thing, removal thing. On the front of your person, the thing that represents, and now you have to shave your head because you got a receding hairline and it's right in the front. So you ask me, should I just give him the job? I just gave you the name of the company. And it's a little expose, 2020, did a thing up on him and everything. The name of the organization. Their question would be obvious. Why is that there? And they're within their rights to ask because of who they represent, what they represent, what they stand for. Yes. Yes, that is an issue. And at that point, I would work really diligently to either join Men's Hair Club or to make it a point to establish something else. Go somewhere else. Do something that says, this isn't me.
I totally get what you're saying in that particular scenario. And I have an interesting story about something similar that happened to me. We don't have enough time to expand upon it. Like, I don't know if you guys want to expand upon this like a little bit later on.
Speaking of that, I'm sorry. I feel free to join us this evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. on RadioPhoenix.org and On Point. We're going to be there, and we would love to have your input. But today you can give us a call at 347-855-8662. Let us hear what you think. Let's hear what you feel. And feel free to tweet us as well. I'm sorry, go ahead, Chris. What were you saying?
I was saying, like, I have an interesting story, but it's kind of long and drawn out. But I don't know if you guys want to expand upon that, like, later on this afternoon. But I totally get what you're saying. But in that particular scenario, if I were that particular individual that had the tattoo of the swastika on his head, I would, and I'm trying to get employment, and I know how people feel about swastikas, I would either go through links to get it removed, or I would do something else. I would create my own job if need be.
Well, I wonder if that kind of pigeonholes you into a specific industry if you have a swastika scarred on your head. I don't know. I mean, of course, you could create your own job, but I'm just saying, unless it's a hat company, it's going to be very interesting.
Here's something else. The teardrop. From old school, teardrops tattooed on a person's face meant how many people.
I mean, you murdered.
How many people you murdered, or an accumulative of how many people you murdered. So if you killed 10 people or 5 people, then you got a teardrop. If you had 2 of those and you had, you know, you killed 10 people or 20 people. And the thing is okay, great. Now, you come into today, everybody rocks a tattoo, no big deal, but this individual walks in and he has these 2 teardrops that's coming down off the side of his eye. Bright individual, intelligent individual. And then you have to fill out, have you ever been convicted of a felony? And you say no. That means that doesn't mean that you've been convicted. It just means you haven't been caught, because on your face, you're advertising the fact that, you know what, I killed 10 people. I killed 20 people. I'm just saying. So, yes. Being marked.
Well, Trey, I want to throw this out there, too. We have to take into consideration the cultural context as well, because not every tattoo means the same thing everywhere. Now,
you
there are some
so
people
right.
who get the Jainism tattoo mixed up with the swastika, because if you're into Jainism, it's very similar. It's angled differently, but it's the same mark. And in some cultures, maybe a tattoo with tears means you lost someone. So I think, and this is my issue, I think, with tattoos, is because if people are not culturally aware, then they're left to make an assumption. That's rough, too.
And then,
why I think, for me, in the profession first place, past your wrist and past your neck, you know, that's not the place for tattoos. You know, I'm a military guy. So, you know, if it's below your short sleeves for your Charlie uniform for the Marine Corps, below your neck, it was acceptable. It's when you got a little crazy with it that they said that it was an eccentric tattoo. I still kind of follow that. I don't have any, but I'm not saying don't get them, but, you know, keep them within your clothing so that you can operate in any environment.
I agree with
James, whereas, like, you know, if you want to, I don't have any either, but I feel that if people want to get them, then it's fine. But, you know, on top of that, also, like, have it mean something. Don't just get it just to be getting it.
Aside from meaning, because somebody can go like this: this dot on my hand means that's life eternal. Wonderful. So you got a dot on the top of your hand. That's great. Wonderful, joy, joy, joy. But here's the thing. I haven't heard this. Being responsible. You know what? I know. Nasty analogy, but I know that I don't fit in at a Klan meeting. So I'm not going. Do you feel me? I'm just not going. Listen, if you want to tattoo,
and it would be a bad idea
tattoo.
In general.
Do your tattoo. Do that. But be aware that there are places you just can't be with them, that just won't accept them, that can't accept them. I'm just saying. And that's, I think that's reasonable.
But you gotta be responsible. But
you
gotta
be responsible
too.
If you come into some people's house, some people say, remove your shoes. Wonderful. You're like, great, man, but these right here, these are Manolos for men. So what? The place you just went to requires that you remove your shoes. If you can't do that, this is not the spot for you. And now, you want to rock that tattoo on the side of your face that says, I'm the most perfect person in the world? Great. Just be mindful, some places aren't going to accept it. Okay.
All valid points, folks. You know, and I think also we have to keep in mind, real quick, Trey, just our appearance in terms of clothing attire, or our sartorial appearance, because of the fact that, you know, based on where we go, we're judged on that as well. It's not just the markings, it's how we attire ourselves.
I concur wholeheartedly. Everyone, we would like for you to join us in this conversation and on radiophoenix.org at 7 to 8 p.m. And we like the direction this is going in. We have some other things. We would like your opinions, too. We would like to hear your ideas. Well, raise your glasses. And remember, every thought is granted. Every idea is warranted. And for every step you take, and for every endeavor that you make, may they always be on point.
On point.
On point.